This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
The dollar is rising as investors return from the holiday.
Attention turns to trade as President Trump faces hurdles in negotiations with Canada.
China explores a merger of mobile phone carriers in its technology race with the U.S.
And Mark Carney's future in focus as the BOE governor faces lawmakers.
Senate confirmation hearings begin today for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, plus another angry tweet from President Trump against Jeff Sessions. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees began their road trip with a loss in Oakland. Mets beat the Dodgers in the ninth inning, and Roger Federer upset at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little change this morning. Dow futures down 21, NASDAQ futures up 9. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%, CAC in Paris down 1%, FTSE 100 down 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down less than 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.86%, the yield on the 2-year 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.7% or $1.19 to $70.99 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6 to $1,200.70 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1558, the yen 111.39, and the data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bob.
President Donald Trump faces new hurdles in his fight to force Canada to sign on to a new North American free trade agreement. We get the very latest live now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The president has threatened to leave Canada out of a new trade deal already negotiated with Mexico. Talks are due to resume tomorrow. But without congressional support, he lacks leverage to force Canada to make concessions. A new NAFTA must be ratified by Congress, and it's not clear the support is there. Trump's frustration showed over the weekend as he attacked the head of the AFL-CIO for saying it's pretty hard to see how NAFTA works without Canada. The battle with Canada is building as the White House also prepares to roll out new tariffs on products from China that make up some $200 billion in annual trade. A public comment period on China trade wraps up on Thursday. Bob and Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Meanwhile, the technology race between the U.S. and China is heating up. Sources say China is exploring a merger between two of the nation's three wireless carriers to speed up the development of 5G mobile services. Sources say the country's top leaders are reviewing a proposal to combine China United Network Communications Group and China Telecommunications.
South Africa's economy unexpectedly entered into a recession for the first time since 2009 in the second quarter. As farming output plunged, gross domestic product shrank an annualized 0.7% in the second quarter from the previous 3 months. That compares with a decline of 2.6% in the first quarter.
Here in the U.S., we get a report on manufacturing this morning from the ISM. Economists are forecasting a lower index reading, 57.6 in August. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
In July, the ISM factory index dropped to 58.1, a three-month low. The pace of new orders, the weakest in more than a year. Even so, the overall ISM index remains elevated after setting a 14-year high in February. Regional factory reports from the Fed's district banks painted a mixed picture for August. Kansas City, Dallas, and Philadelphia signaled weakness. Richmond and New York reported faster growth. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. The big economic event of the week comes on Friday with the release of the August jobs report. Economists are forecasting the unemployment rate will fall to historic lows. Gina Smilek covers the economy for Bloomberg News.
Economists are expecting the unemployment rate to drop to 3.8% in August. That will be the lowest since 2000, matching the lowest since 1969. The one puzzle that remains as the unemployment rate has dropped lower is why wages aren't picking up in a more sustained way. They're expected to be basically in line on a year-over-year basis, still below 3%. That's weaker than we've seen in prior expansions and not as strong as you would expect at these extremely low levels of joblessness. I think that's a big question Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, and his colleagues will be watching as we get jobs reports for the remainder of the year.
Bloomberg's Gina Smilek, thank you. Economists are forecasting 193,000 non-farm jobs were created last month.
Ford, Fiat Chrysler, and the overseas automakers report their August sales figures today. We get more from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Forecasters at J.D. Power and LMC Automotive say new vehicle sales for last month will likely be up very slightly from August of last year. They're looking for a gain of 1%, maybe a little more, to around 1.5 million. Hurricanes Harvey and Irma disrupted business and Labor Day sales events in parts of the South in August of 2017. The cutoff day for counting August sales corresponded with the calendar this year. It was last Friday, so this year's Labor Day sales will be part of the September sales reports. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. The Bank of England's governor has the chance to put speculation about his future to rest today. Sebastian Salek is live in London with details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Well, Carney will testify in front of UK lawmakers. That follows a report from the BBC yesterday that he's in talks about staying on in the role beyond his planned departure date of June of next year. A government spokesperson has played down that prospect, saying Carney still plans to leave his role in 2019. But the silence from the governor has fueled speculation that he needs to stay on to ensure stability after Brexit in March, or that the Treasury is struggling to find a replacement while it focuses on the negotiations. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. In corporate news, WPP shares are down more than 5%. New chief executive Mark Reed signaled he would spend more to revive growth at the world's biggest advertising group. WPP has forecast a profit margin squeeze in the full year.
The Netherlands-based bank ING will pay $900 million to settle a Dutch investigation into money laundering and corrupt practices. The bank acknowledged what it called serious shortcomings. ING also saying it's taking action against a number of former senior employees. S&P futures at this hour up by 2 points, less than a tenth of 1%. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump has tweeted that federal indictments against two Republican congressmen place the GOP in midterm election jeopardy. In a tweet yesterday, Trump again attacked Attorney General Jeff Sessions while suggesting that the Justice Department consider politics when making decisions. The president cited what he called Obama-era investigations shortly before midterm elections and that two easy wins now in doubt. Unquote. He mockingly added, good job, Jeff. It's a full schedule for Congress as it returns this week. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has an overview.
Confirmation hearings for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, among the questions sure to be asked, focus on the fate of a court case and the Russia probe, whether cases already adjudicated should stand, a look into the issue of abortion through Roe v. Wade, and presidential accountability. Lawmakers also work on multiple spending bills to avoid a government shutdown the end of the month, and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg will testify tomorrow on foreign interference in the U.S. electoral process, also likely facing questions on news distribution. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tropical Storm Gordon lashed out at South Florida with heavy rains and high winds. It's expected to strengthen into a hurricane when it hits the central Gulf Coast late tonight or early tomorrow. In New Orleans, residents are stocking up on sandbags, emergency provisions, food, and medicine as they brace for the possibility of extreme flooding. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell has issued a voluntary evacuation, but says the city is ready.
We've got the pumps and power we believe we need, again, to be safe and protect our residents. We've pre-staged barricades in flood-prone areas and have emergency personnel ready to respond.
The National Hurricane Center reports the storm is expected to move inland over the lower Mississippi Valley tomorrow. It's primary day in Massachusetts. Three Republicans are vying for the chance to take on Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren in the fall. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
And Michael, thank you, has moved us along to 6:09 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Stunning upset at the U.S. Open last night. Roger Federer was cruising along against a relative unknown, John Millman of Australia, ranked 55th. Federer won the first set, was up a break in the second, but lost that set 7-5 and then lost two straight tiebreakers, and he's out in the fourth round. Before Federer lost, Maria Sharapova fell straight sets to Carla Suarez Navarro, who was playing on her 30th birthday. Baseball in Oakland, the A's roughed up Oakland native C.C. Sabathia, won the series opener from the Yankees 6-3. Yanks had only four hits. These two teams almost certain to meet in that one-game wild-card playoff a month from now. Question becomes, where will the game be played? Yanks are only 3.5 games ahead. Thrilling win for the Mets. They beat the Dodgers 4-2 on a Brandon Nimmo pinch-hit 3-run homer in the ninth inning. Yet another start for Jacob deGrom, where he was superb, allowed only two hits, but he did not get a victory. deGrom has now gone a major league record, 25 consecutive starts without allowing more than three earned runs. Jets coach Todd Bowles finally made official what was not a well-kept secret. His starting quarterback Monday night in Detroit will be rookie Sam Darnold.
We only play Detroit with 52 other guys. It's not just him by himself. So the pains he gets that he needs to see, it'll be an experience probably the first couple of years. I don't think as a player you ever stop experiencing things. So the way he handles it and comes back from it, handles it in stride. We're trying to help the team win. We feel like he gives us a good chance to win. We're not starting him because he's a rookie and he's not ready. We're starting him because he gives us a chance to win the game.
Darnold, only 21 years old, youngest week one starting quarterback since the 1970 merger. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Nike is launching a new ad campaign featuring the pro football player most closely associated with the kneeling protests. Colin Kaepernick will star in the sneaker company's iconic Just Do It ads. Some consumers are saying don't do it. They've been posting photos and videos on social media showing themselves burning Nike shoes and other gear. S&P futures at this hour, up 2 points, less than a tenth of 1%, and the 10-year yield at 2.8694%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. The sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg Surveillance.
This is time.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar rising with Treasury yields before key data from the world's biggest economy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures down 7. NASDAQ futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.86%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or $1.24 to $71.03 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $5.50 at $12.01.20 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is again attacking his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Trump tweeted yesterday, Obama-era investigations of two very popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the A's. The Mets won along with the Red Sox and Nationals. The Orioles and Giants lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, a stunning upset. Roger Federer ousted. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. 6:19 on Wall Street, and good morning to you. I'm John Tucker. Let's get you set up for this shortened trading week, and helping us do that here in New York, Senior Executive Editor John McCory. In Beijing, we're joined by Managing Editor Emma O'Brien, and with us in London this morning, News Director David Merritt. John McCory, since you are to my left, let's begin with you. It is not clear that President Trump has the support of Congress in his trade dispute with Canada.
That's correct, John. Now, negotiations are scheduled to resume tomorrow between Canada and the U.S. on this new NAFTA or whatever it ultimately might be known as. And the question really is, will President Trump win in his bid to have Canada make concessions on dairy products that are exported to the U.S.? Canada has a lot of leverage because just about every constituency, whether it's Congress or the unions or even employers, they all want Canada in this deal. And President Trump is behaving as if he can somehow get a deal without Canada. So the market's going to closely watch those negotiations starting tomorrow.
Is it priced into the markets?
So far, the currency market is treating the loonie, the Canadian dollar, as if nothing has changed and Canada will indeed be part of the deal.
It is heating up with Canada, with China. It's in the deep fryer. Emma O'Brien, the U.S. poised to target another $200 billion of Chinese goods as soon as this week.
Yeah, it's looking very likely that China will get hit with another tariff salvo as soon as Thursday, as you said, D.C. time. Little sign that the two sides are engaged in any high-level or meaningful dialogue. This $200 billion would be the biggest hit from President Trump yet on Chinese goods and definitely bring the American consumer more meaningfully into this fight. On the list is stuff like Chinese-made and exported refrigerators, knives and forks, bath towels. And China, of course, has said it will punch back and it has its own retaliatory tariff list that's on $60 billion of U.S. goods. Of course, its focus is a little bit different. Stuff like tractors and mountain bikes, stuff it doesn't really import from the U.S., but also things that don't really hit consumers here. Chemical waste, paper waste, lubricating oil on their list. So, we'll see on Thursday.
And if you want another U.S.-China battle, Emma, China said to explore the mega merger of the mobile phone carriers. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's right. It looks like we've got another front opening up in this war or this fight between for domination between the world's two titans. China has been targeting becoming a pioneer in 5G for a while now, and it looks like the trade war may be accelerating that push. People familiar with the matter that we spoke to here in Beijing say that the country's top leaders are currently reviewing a proposal to merge two of the three biggest mobile carriers here. And the arguments in favor of that, including in gaining an edge in 5G, which is this technology that people say will revolutionize the way we operate everything from refrigerators to cars. Now, China's ambitions on this front are on the U.S.'s radar. We had President Trump blocking Broadcom's bid for Qualcomm on concerns that could help facilitate China's rise in this area. But not only would this possible merger make it easier to make big 5G investments for China, but it would create the world's second biggest mobile phone carrier.
David Merritt, I haven't forgotten about you in London. Mark Carney, head of the BOE, testimony later today. My question is, will he stay or will he go?
Well, that's right. He's called, rather perhaps unfairly in the British press, the unreliable boyfriend for his flip-flopping on interest rate policy. Well, now the speculation is about how long is he going to stay. Reports swirling around the last few days. He's thinking of extending his term beyond next June. That's when he's due to step down. He'll be up in front of lawmakers from about lunchtime in London today. So the market really wanting some clarity on this issue. In the background, though, of course, the pound is down, and really there's a lot of negative reports coming out about the UK economy. We've had bad numbers on services, forecasts for later this week. We've had bad numbers on manufacturing, and they only just put up interest rates. So his record at the bank coming under scrutiny as well. We can expect a lot of news from that testimony in a couple of hours' time.
And John McCrory, Brett Kavanaugh, the confirmation hearings begin for the Supreme Court nominee. What are the issues?
Well, there's a couple, John. One is abortion, and the other is certainly executive privilege. The headline ultimately is that Kavanaugh is likely to be confirmed. The Republicans hold a 51-49 majority in the Senate, and so far it looks like they're lining up to vote along party lines. However, should Kavanaugh in his testimony somehow show that he is likely to overturn Roe versus Wade, the landmark abortion decision, Senators Collins and Murkowski on the Republican side are pro-abortion. They have said they cannot support that. But right now, it really is likely that we'll have a 51-49 vote when it eventually comes about.
David Merritt, let's do this Mad Men scenario. WPP tumbling. They've got a new head at the new ad man at the head of WPP. What's the story?
Yeah, that's right. You know, more bad news. It just keeps flowing from WPP, the world's biggest advertising agency. Of course, they chucked out their famous CEO, Martin Sorrell, earlier this year. Mark Reed's first results today and really disappointing. The market stock down 7 or 8% at one point. The problem is the model that they've got really is too old-fashioned. They've got to work faster to change that. He confessed they're going to have to invest more. That's hurting margins. The market taking fright on that today.
David, thank you very much. We appreciate it. John McCory, our senior executive editor here in New York, Emma O'Brien in Beijing, and David Merritt there in London, setting you up for the week ahead. I'm John Tucker. Right now, S&P futures up 1 point. Dow futures down 18. This is Bloomberg.
And Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is now 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The dollar is rising and U.S. futures are mixed as investors return from the Labor Day weekend and begin a new trading month. The S&P 500 rose 3% in August, its fifth straight monthly gain.
President Trump faces new hurdles in his fight to force Canada to sign on to a new North American free trade agreement. The president has threatened to leave Canada out of a new trade deal with Mexico, but without congressional support, he lacks leverage to force Canada to make concessions. Talks resume tomorrow.
Bloomberg News has learned China is exploring a merger between two of the nation's three wireless carriers to speed up the development of 5G mobile services amid a race with the U.S. over the technology.
Bank of England watchers will be keeping a close eye on Governor Mark Carney's testimony before the Treasury Select Committee today. Bloomberg's Lucy Meehan reports from London.
Mark Carney gets his chance to put speculation about his future as Bank of England governor to rest when he faces lawmakers later today. He's set to face questions from Parliament's Treasury Committee on the central bank's latest inflation report and decision to raise interest rates. But the question that's dominating headlines is whether he will stay on at the BOE for an extra year to help provide stability after Brexit. The government says his plans haven't changed, but this will be the first time we've heard Carney speak in public since the most recent report surfaced. In London, Lucy Meakin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Lucy, thank you. South Africa's economy unexpectedly entered into a recession for the first time since 2009 in the second quarter as farming output plunged.
Dutch lender ING has agreed to pay fines of $900 million to settle an investigation by prosecutors into issues including money laundering and corrupt practices.
And shares of WPP are down more than 5%. New chief executive Mark Reed signaled he would spend more to revive growth at the world's biggest advertising group.
And it's now 6:32 on Wall Street, time for your volatility index report. The VIX was closed yesterday for the Labor Day holiday. It ended the month of August at 1286. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently on the rise at 1334. That's this morning's volatility report.
S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures up 7. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. CAC in Paris down 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8%, up $1.30 to $71.10 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.5%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now, 5:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Audi, a vehicle of progress and an experience for the senses. Explore the all-new 2019 Audi A8 and see for yourself why luxury has found the vehicle it deserves. See your tri-state Audi dealer or visit AudiUSA.com. CNN.com. Sparks are likely to fly as Senate confirmation hearings begin for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Bloomberg's Michael Barr, with that and more now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Senate confirmation hearings begin today for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Members of the Senate Judiciary are ready with questions. One of the biggest, what's in the 100,000 pages of documents not released by the White House regarding Kavanaugh's time with the George W. Bush administration? Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
I want to see the documents about what he said when he was in government and advising the President of the United States. I want to see his history. Talk is cheap. I want to know what his actions have been.
The hearings come as President Trump went after Attorney General Jeff Sessions again yesterday. In a tweet, the president expressed his anger for Sessions, allowing the federal indictments of two Republican congressmen just months before the midterm elections, saying two easy wins are now in doubt. Tropical Storm Gordon is expected to be a hurricane when it makes landfall along the central Gulf Coast tonight or early Wednesday. The storm and its 50-mile-an-hour winds have already dumped heavy rain on South Florida and the Keys. A hurricane warning is in effect from the Louisiana-Mississippi border east to the Alabama-Florida border. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards has signed a statewide emergency declaration and authorized the National Guard to deploy 200 members.
These guardsmen will be pre-positioned primarily in southeast Louisiana, along with 63 high-water vehicles, 39 boats, and 4 helicopters.
New Orleans has issued a voluntary evacuation alert. The family of the late Aretha Franklin says it found an Atlanta pastor's eulogy delivered at the Queen of Soul's funeral last week to be offensive and distasteful. The singer's nephew, Vaughn Franklin, said that the family was taken by surprise at the Reverend Jasper Williams Jr.'s words. There was heavy social media criticism of his eulogy on Friday. Williams described children being in a home without a father as abortion after birth. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. The clock ticks on to 6:35 on Wall Street, moving us along to your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. John Stashower, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. It was to be the hottest ticket in town tomorrow night at the U.S. Open. Roger Federer versus Novak Djokovic, a match worthy of a final, yet it would be in the quarterfinals. But Federer last night lost in four sets, upset by 29-year-old Australian John Millman, ranked 55th. He was playing a fourth-round match at a Grand Slam for the first time. Only the second time in the last 15 years Federer has lost at the Open before the quarterfinals. The match ended about 1 in the morning. Millman said he had to be up 6 hours later for his fantasy football draft with his friends back in Australia. The Yankees began a long road trip, losing in Oakland 6-3. The A's knocked out Oakland native C.C. Sabathia in the fourth inning. Yanks had chances in the late innings but couldn't score. This series, a likely playoff preview, and the A's are within 3.5 games of grabbing home field for their expected one-game wild card playoff game next month. Mets beat the Dodgers 4-2 on a Brandon Nimmo pinch hit, three-run homer in the ninth inning. Yet another no decision for Jacob deGrom. His ERA is 1.68, but only 8 wins in 28 starts due to lack of run support. NFL season kicks off Thursday. Super Bowl champion Eagles will host the Falcons. The Jets open on Monday night in Detroit, with Coach Todd Bowles naming rookie Sam Darnold his starting quarterback.
Sam had a good preseason. We weren't holding him back, but we weren't rushing him at the same time. He'll still have some things to learn, but his poise in the pocket and the way he grasped the offense coming in right away, and the guys gather around him and absorb him coming in and playing football, he gives us a very good chance to win.
21-year-old Darnold, youngest week one starting QB since at least the 1970 merger. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The fog surrounding Britain's decision to leave the European Union shows no sign of clearing. The UK exits the Union in March, but more than 2 years after it voted to go, the terms of its separation remain unresolved. This uncertainty is a huge cost in its own right, but the failure to conclude a sensible withdrawal agreement would compound that cost. The UK has no easy escape from the bind it has put itself in, but with the EU's cooperation, it can and should avoid that worst possible outcome. One can sympathize with Remainers who want to see this absurdity unfold, demonstrating the folly of the whole Brexit adventure. One can also understand the Brexiteers, who prefer no deal to arrangements that would leave economic ties in place. believing that the economy can shrug it all off. Both positions are wrong. The risks are too great. Let's hope that the UK will vote again and rejoin the EU. The sooner the better. But with time running out, the priority should be to avoid the chaos of no deal. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The Trump administration is likely to come out with a new rule this month that could affect the health of immigrant children. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Under the rule, the number of immigrants who could be found inadmissible due to their reliance on public benefits could rise sharply from 3% to 47%.
Their use of them could count against their ability to become a citizen in future.
Bloomberg Law's Victoria Pelham says without benefits, doctors worry kids will become sicker.
They would be losing access to healthy foods that they could get through nutrition benefits on SNAP, for example. During a vital time of their growth and development, they also could be waiting longer to see doctors.
Officials are expected to roll out the proposal in the next few weeks. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green business report. Okay, so it's still not as quick as topping off at the gas pump, but General Motors says it's working on a rapid charging system that would allow drivers of electric vehicles to juice up their batteries with 180 miles of driving range in less than 10 minutes. That would be faster than possible with Tesla's so-called superchargers. GM and one of its research partners, Delta Americas, are developing the faster charging system as part of a 3-year project. The race is on among automakers to recharge electric cars faster so consumers are less worried about becoming powerless and stranded. With the new system, GM's cars could add about 18 miles of driving range per minute. Tesla superchargers are capable of charging at a rate of about 6 miles per minute. Porsche has pledged around 12 miles per minute for its Taycan electric sports car. GM's Chevy Volt currently needs about 30 minutes of charging at fast public stations for about 90 miles of range. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures virtually unchanged. The 10-year yield at 2.8731%. This is Bloomberg. It is news 24/7, streaming live on Twitter. Bloomberg's 2,700 journalists and analysts across 120 countries contribute. Join us at TikTok. That's TICTOC.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And S&P futures are little change this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures down 34 points. S&Ps are a little changed, and Nasdaq futures are higher by 4. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.87%, and Shanghai rose 1.1% overnight, while in Europe, Italy is trading higher by 0.6% amid weakness in France and Germany. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, construction spending and ISM manufacturing. Regarding earnings this morning, Conn's EPS beat estimates. And in other news, MannKind is soaring 65% in the pre-market after its pact with United Therapeutics, and Apple's price target raised to $2.50 over at Canaccord. In deal news, Transocean buy Ocean Rig for $2.7 billion. And wrapping things up, Verizon was downgraded to equal at Barclays. Cognizant was downgraded to underperform at Bank of America, and Arista Networks downgraded to equal over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Tropical Storm Gordon is gaining strength as it heads for the Gulf Coast. The storm is expected to make landfall later today on the Mississippi coast as a Category 1 hurricane. A state of emergency has already been declared in Mississippi. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is set for a week of marathon hearings before the Judiciary Committee, where senators will question the judge's background, writings, and legal philosophy. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the A's, the Mets won along with the Red Sox and the Nationals, the Orioles and Giants lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, in a stunning upset, Roger Federer ousted by 55th-ranked John Millman. Maria Sharapova was also eliminated. Today for the women, Sloane Stephens and Serena Williams play their matches. For the men, Rafael Nadal plays today. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, on this date in history, a 20-year-old cocktail waitress from Texas won the first season of American Idol in 2002. Kelly Clarkson was awarded a recording contract and went on to sell millions of albums and establish herself as a successful pop star. Bob Clarkson has come full circle, acting as a coach on the TV show The Voice.
She is great. I'm not sure it's a claim to fame, though, that when I hear her name, one of the first things that I think about is Steve Carell screaming, "Ah, Kelly Clarkson!"
Yeah. She's very good. I'd take my hat off.
She is indeed.
Oh, my goodness. Global News, 24 hours a day. Sing it, girl. On air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now, 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. House of Representatives returning from recess today and is set to take up legislation on natural gas and federal student aid counseling. The Senate convenes this afternoon, and Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a procedural vote will be held on the nomination of Elad Roisman to be a member of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And the Senate begins confirmation hearings today for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Joining us is Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning and welcome. 9:30 a.m. those confirmation hearings begin, and Democrats are aiming to derail this nomination, and the principal focus is abortion.
Certainly, abortion is going to be a heavy focus of this. There is some question, I guess, limited question of whether or not Kavanaugh will say enough on abortion to indicate that he might overturn Roe v. Wade, which could call into question support from some key Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, who've said that they're dedicated to the idea of not voting for someone who wouldn't keep Roe in place. And so I think that that's the big question when it comes to abortion, is what he says on that front and whether he might go so far as to tip the scales for Collins and Murkowski to, you know, vote against him. So far, there's no real indication of that in you know, his writings and that sort of thing. And it looks like he will have the votes to get confirmed. Republicans can confirm it without any Democratic votes. So it looks like that is likely to happen. But, you know, obviously much hinges on what's said in the hearings over the next couple days.
And the Mueller-Russia probe is also shadowing this nomination. Democrats are pressing questions about that.
It is. This is a very interesting element to watch. And so Kavanaugh, in his previous careers as both an aide to Ken Starr, who was a special counsel during the Clinton administration, and also as a judge, has, you know, written and made comments about the limits of executive privilege. And so this is an issue that could come up in the Russia probe. And Democrats have some concerns about some of the prior statements that Kavanaugh has made. And so they'll be certainly looking to press him to make sure that they, or at least, you know, if they're not comfortable with his views on executive privilege, to at least point out beforehand what his views are. And I would expect that both on abortion and also on the executive privilege issue, we might see some fodder for Democratic campaign ads heading into the midterms based on what comes out of Kavanaugh's testimony, i.e., we could be seeing Democrats using some comments that Kavanaugh makes as, you know, fodder for campaign ads as they try to take back control of the House and potentially win control of the Senate in November.
The U.S. and Canada did not make their deadline late last week for the NAFTA talks. Those talks will be resuming again this week, and the president is facing that fight at the same time that he is set on Thursday to impose those new duties on China.
Yeah, so really the kind of takeaway of the last couple of days is that the president is very much ramping up his rhetoric against Canada as he's as the U.S. is still engaged in these talks to try to reach a deal with Mexico and Canada to reestablish NAFTA. It's certainly worth noting that, you know, he really ramped up his rhetoric over the weekend. And I think that, you know, the question, obviously the White House sees a strategy in having him do that. I think it's kind of a carry a big stick sort of strategy, but whether or not that really succeeds in helping to bring Canada to the table, I think, kind of remains to be seen.
The president has been claiming for some time that the clock has run out on the Russia investigation, but Mr. Mueller persists.
He does. And so the there's some question of whether or not the president and his lawyers, particularly Rudy Giuliani, they've kind of cited this September 1st deadline as something that's in Justice Department guidelines. But it's a bit unclear exactly whether or not that's it's certainly not a hard and fast thing. And so Mueller isn't showing any signs of kind of honoring that. But I think from a political standpoint, what we're likely to see now is Giuliani kind of using that potentially as cover if there is an effort to try to get Trump to testify prior to the midterms. Giuliani has basically said that that's now off the table, and it puts Mueller in the position of potentially having to subpoena the president if he wants to talk to him prior to the election. That could have the effect of giving Trump some breathing room or of putting Mueller on kind of the defensive if he does want to speak to the president. I think it's important to keep in mind in that context that part of what we're looking at here is Jim Comey's decision to reopen his investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails just days before the election 2 years ago. And so I think that's on a lot of people's mind, probably the Trump legal teams as well.
Mr. Mueller's response to the Giuliani ultimatums has been silence. Do we even know whether Mr. Mueller for sure is going to be issuing a report?
So there has been, you know, I think the sort of expectation has been that he'll issue a report. We don't know definitively that that will happen. We don't know definitively when that would happen, if it does happen. I think that, you know, again, the pressure from Trump's legal team and from the White House and from Republicans on Capitol Hill has been across the board to try to urge Mueller and, frankly, sort of strong arm Mueller into wrapping up the investigation. But there's really not an indication that Mueller is going to be keen to do that or to cave to that pressure.
Bloomberg's Kathleen Hutter, thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Twitter, Facebook, Google executives testify before Congress this week on social media and Russian meddling. We get more on that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey will testify on Russian election interference. Google CEO Sundar Pichai was invited but is sending a surrogate. The social media companies have been accused by prominent Republicans of censoring conservatives and their opinions. President Trump, a devoted Twitter user, has said on the site that, quote, social media is totally discriminating against Republican conservative voices. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump has signed an order requesting expanded small business retirement options. The president asked the Labor Department in an executive order to look into loosening restrictions on small businesses that want to band together to offer retirement savings plans to their employees. Association retirement plans, as Mr. Trump called them in a speech before signing the order, would be a type of 401k plan for employees of small businesses that choose to pool their resources to provide them. The plans would also follow workers from job to job, encouraging more Americans to save for retirement. The order directs the DOL to examine relaxing the requirement that small business have a common interest to form what's commonly known as a multiple employer plan, or MEP. Now, of course, all this comes as the Labor Department is expanding access to small business health insurance options known as association health plans. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And we had this headline crossing the Bloomberg moments ago. MTN Group saying Nigeria is seeking to recover $2 billion in back taxes. Futures this morning are little changed. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.